We good?
Yeah.
إن الحمد لله إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار ثم أما بعد الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله الله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we praise Allah and we magnify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because we are able to gather today on this auspicious occasion celebrating the sacrifice of Ibrahim alayhi salam, Eid al-Adha. And when you take a look at the ahadith that describe some of the qualities and characteristics of Ibrahim alayhi salam, you start to appreciate just how much of a tremendous sacrifice he had to make and just how much opposition he had to overcome. The Prophet ﷺ mentions in a hadith that is mentioned in Ibn Khuzaymah as well as Al-Hakim, and it is mentioned in Sahih Al-Targhib by Al-Albani, so it's authentic hadith. لَمَّا أَتَى إِبْرَاهِيمُ خَلِيلُ اللَّهِ الْمَنَاسِكِ عَرَضَ لَهُ الشَّيْطَانِ عِنْدَ جَمْرَةِ الْعَقَبَةِ فَرَمَاهُ بِسَبْعِ حَصَيَاتٍ حَتَّى سَاخَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. That when Ibrahim alayhi salam, the friend of Allah, when he came to complete the rituals of Hajj, Shaytan came to him and approached him and at Jamratul Aqaba. And so he pelted him with 7 pebbles. And then he sank and melted into the ground. And this happened again at Jamratul Thaniya and Al-Thalitha. So again and again he kept coming, and again Ibrahim alayhi salam kept pelting him with these pebbles. Qatada, in the tafsir of Alusi's tafsir, mentions in the ayah when Allah mentions inna hadha lahuwal bala'ul mubin, when Allah mentions the great sacrifice of Ibrahim alayhi salam, sacrificing of your own son, in that ayah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, excuse me, the tafsir, the mufassir, he mentions this narration that talks about how Ibrahim alayhi salam was approached by shaitan in many different ways. Waswas is shaitan, whispering, isn't this the wrong thing to do, how could you do this? That he came in the form of a man as a friend, listen, this is a bad idea, coming in the form to visit his wife and say, I think this is not a good idea. What is your husband going to do? Coming even to the son himself, Ismail, alayhi salam, and telling him, what is your father going to do? How can you allow this? And one after the other, no matter who he approached, shaitan was never successful in deterring anybody. And this is, as Ibn Ashur mentions in his tafsir as well, he goes into detail talking about how the Hanafiya, the ancient Arabs, even before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they knew that the jamarat, it was to repel shaitan because shaitan wanted to deter Ibrahim alayhi salam from obeying Allah, specifically in what? The sacrifice of his son. He was trying to deter him one by one, because he knew that's where he was building up to. I mention all this to demonstrate that even in the face of the most difficult trial, and even in the face of so much doubt, Ibrahim alayhi salam overcame. Why was it that he was not deterred? How is it possible to have such strength of character? Because he was committed to fulfill Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands, no matter how hard it was. And that's why we commemorate him today. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, قَدْ كَانَتْ لَكُمْ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ فِي إِبْرَاهِيمِ. Indeed, you have a great example in Ibrahim alayhi salam. Someone to follow, someone to take as exemplary. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, walillahi alhamd. So the topic that I want to talk about today is commitment. Commitment and dedication. Commitment doesn't have to do with your feelings. It's not a question of, am I in the mood? Has the mood struck me or not? Am I feeling excited or not? That's not what commitment is about. Commitment is about doing something, whether you want to or not, whether you're in the mood or not. Why? Because it's the right thing to do, because you know you should. It's about pushing yourself even when you are completely unmotivated. Even when you don't want to do it, it's about sticking to the path. That is what commitment is all about. And our first commitment, number one, has to be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one who gave you life. He is the one who gave you thought. He is the one who gave you your free will. He is the one who gave you all of your blessings. And ultimately, He is the one who gave you your purpose. We owe Him our commitment. No question about it. Nobody else can compete on that list. Number one must be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And strong commitments are fortified by strong objectives. And there is absolutely no objective higher or greater than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is nothing that should motivate you more than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, whenever somebody is feeling unmotivated towards their goals, they're always reminded, they're always told, don't forget why you started the journey to begin with. Always remember why you began this journey. What was the motivating factor? And if you do that, if you have that attitude and you always remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there is nothing greater as a motivator. Why was Ibrahim alayhi salam so willing to commit? It's because he knew that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's promise was perfect. This is not like some person, some buddy of yours, a pal who's like, look, if you do something for me, don't worry, trust me, I'll pay you back. This is not like a boss who says, look, if you work really hard, you know, maybe some good things around the corner for you, and you think, oh, I really believe in my boss. No, this is greater than any boss, greater than any friend, greater than any government, greater than any king, greater than any ruler. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibrahim knew that if I fulfill this command, that Allah is never going to go back on His promise. He knew that Allah's promise to bless Ibrahim alayhi salam was perfect and would be completed in ways that he could never imagine, so long as he made that sacrifice. Our presence here today, our very presence here today implies what? That we have admiration for Ibrahim alayhi salam. It implies what? That we have a desire to follow in his footsteps. So if our actions, if our lifestyle does not reflect that same desire for sacrifice, then our presence here, our fancy clothes, our celebration, it is all empty. We need to take a good hard look at ourselves and ask ourselves, are we truly, truly willing to commemorate the example of Ibrahim alayhi salam? Are we truly committed? Commitment implies that challenges are to be expected. I have never met anybody, ever. I challenge anybody to think of a single person who has been successful in any area of life without facing doubts and critics and cynics and naysayers and pessimists. And then, in face of all that, they worked and they struggled and they sweated and they sacrificed and they fought to maintain their focus, to maintain their commitment, to overcome the doubts, to silence the skeptics and to shock the world. This is always the equation. It will never change. Don't think you can accomplish anything great in any field without feeling that taste of doubt and that the pain of people criticizing and being challenged. So if we want to live up to that legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam, what is holding us back? What is stopping us? What is impeding the path? I submit to you today that perhaps one of the greatest obstacles is blame. Blame. Blaming others. Because blame is the antithesis of commitment. Because it gives you a scapegoat. It gives you a reason to quit. It's not my fault, it's their fault. Blaming others is what we do when we are avoiding some sort of truth about ourselves. That is almost always the case. In fact, the quote, it's a very, very famous quote that says, it's often the one with the dirtiest hands that's pointing all the fingers. It's very true. Stop looking outside. Stop looking at everybody else. Stop looking at others for blame. Don't look towards politicians. Don't look towards celebrities or the culture that we live in. Stop looking at the news or your neighbor or your friends. Look at the mirror. Look at yourself and recognize that you are the only one that is capable of fixing you. And the first attitude that needs to be put in check is this very problematic attitude that exists in most of us, if not all of us, to one degree or another. And what is that attitude? It is the attitude that is screaming, I want to take everything and I want to give nothing. Most people don't put it in those words. We're too clever to say it outright. But it manifests itself in many different ways. This attitude of saying, I want to take everything and I want to give nothing. Perhaps you can relate when I give some examples. For instance, I want to feel like a very smart and intelligent Muslim, but I don't want to like read any books or anything. I don't want to actually sit in a class or learn anything. I just want to have all the answers without ever researching or doing or dealing with any questions. Is this a prevalent attitude? I believe the answer is yes. I want to be a generous person. I don't want to actually give my money though, but I want to be generous. How good would it feel to be a generous person? But I mean, I want to keep my own money, obviously. I want to have it all, but I don't want to give anything. Perhaps the most common. Ya Imam. Ya Shaykh. Oh Imam. I know you never see me at the masjid, and I know I've missed everything that you've taught all year, but do you think you could like summarize everything that you've taught and everything that I've missed, like right here and right now? Do you think perhaps you can transform me and make me a righteous person, a very spiritually awoke individual? Do you think you could do that? Do you think you could purify my heart from jealousy and anger, hypocrisy, dishonesty, cowardice, laziness, recklessness, heedlessness in the next 5 minutes? Do you think you could do all that? Oh, and my family too. I got to make sure that my kids are okay. Do you think you could just sort of fix them up real quick? Oh, you know what? Imam, just 1 second. I have a phone call coming in. You know what? Maybe I'll see you next year. Maybe we could catch up then. Thanks a lot. Bye. Yes, we smile. We laugh. We think it's so funny. But unfortunately, the reality is this is many of our attitudes. This is unfortunately how we think we can go through life, by taking and having it all, but by committing nothing. Brothers and sisters, this does not work. This never has worked. What you get is what you put in. If you want to be spiritually awoken, if you want to feel a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it takes sacrifice, it takes work, just like anything else in life. If you want the greatest goal of Jannah, why do you think you are sufficient in only planting the seeds of hellfire? No, if you plant the seeds of hellfire, then what will grow? The fruits of hellfire. Only by planting the seeds of Jannah, by working hard, then you will get the fruits of Jannah bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. There are no shortcuts. Life is a test. And you never know, just like in any exam, you never know how well you're doing on an exam until the test is over, right? However, you can ask yourself some things. You can ask yourself a very straightforward question. And the question is this: am I exhausted? Am I exhausted? If you are, if the answer is yes, if you have pushed yourself to the limit, then you are following the footsteps of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Then you could say, whether I've done great or done terrible on the exam, at least I gave it my all. You'll never know until Yawm al-Qiyamah. You'll never know until Judgment Day. But at least you'll be able to say, I gave it everything I got. And I showed up here today to commemorate the sacrifice of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And I did my best to try to follow in his footsteps. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Wa lillahi alhamd. And if the answer is no, when you ask yourself, am I exhausted? Have I given it my all? If the answer is no, I'm actually complacent, I'm comfortable, and I'm overconfident, then the fact of the matter is, you are not reaching your potential. That's a fact. That is an undeniable fact. If you are too comfortable, if you are complacent, and if you are overconfident, then 100% you are not reaching your potential, and there is no getting around that. And we'll continue in the second khutbah. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam taslima kathira. Is it working? No, it's okay. Leave it. Jazakallahu khair. Khair, inshallah. Leave it. Bismillah. Bismillah, walhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalam ala rasulillah. Please, if you could silence your cell phones. Jazakumullah khairan. A young man recently came to me And he was asking me a question that I thought perhaps I should share, because maybe many people share the same question. He came to me, mashallah, he was very straightforward, very direct, and he said, "Look, I'm feeling very weak in my iman. I have no motivation to pray or to practice my deen. What do you advise?" To be honest, I was impressed with his straightforwardness. I was happy that he just said it like it is. And so I listened to his question, and I thought maybe many people have this same question. So what I did is I spoke to him for a while. Whenever you answer a question, it's always good to try to get to know the person so you know where their mental state is, try to get an idea of what type of an answer they can handle. So I spoke to him, and I got the impression that he was a well-adjusted young man and that he could handle a very straightforward response. So I told it to him very straight. After talking to him for a little while, I said, "Look, you want to know what the truth is? The truth is, whatever you do in life, don't be a half-stepping, weak-hearted, indecisive flaker. Don't be somebody who half-commits. Why? In anything you do, it is the worst approach." I said, "Look, the fact of the matter is, if you're going to go into university, either find a subject that you love and that you'll be committed to, or don't bother wasting your parents' money. Simple as that." I said, "If you're going to be in a relationship, don't start with that, 'I don't know how I feel, but you know, I like her, but I kind of don't, I'm not really sure.' Don't, just stop. Just stop immediately. Tell yourself, 'Look, either I'm serious about this person, I need to think about it, I need to figure this out, and either completely commit myself to this relationship, or walk away before you get emotionally invested into anybody.'" And the same thing goes for Islam. If you're having doubts in your Islam, good. Good. I told him it's not a bad thing to have doubts in Islam. It's actually a healthy thing. Why is it good? Because doubts are motivation to learn. Doubts fuel your curiosity. That's a good thing if you're having doubts. Why? Let it push you to research, ask questions, to read, and to learn. The worst thing is when somebody comes up and says, "You know, I've had this same question for 10 years, subhanAllah. Before I even know what the question is, I'm like, how could it have taken you 10 years? You didn't ask, you didn't research. What have you been doing?" And sometimes the question is something so simple. Somebody once asked me, "You know, for 10 years, I've been wondering whether Iblis is a jinn or an angel." I said, "SubhanAllah, it says in Surah Kahf, Allah says, 'Iblis kana min al-jinn,' that's it. Iblis was from amongst the jinn. You couldn't have, 10 years, you couldn't have asked anybody who knows a little bit of Quran?" SubhanAllah, brothers and sisters, if you have questions, ask your questions. Learn, research. Don't just coast in this sort of half, sort of, floating downstream. You know, completely just loose and without any sort of determination. Just going with the tide and ask, having these questions that you sit with for 5, 10, 15 years. This is completely unacceptable. Make a decision in your life that either A, I'm going to research this deen and I'm going to figure out that, you know what, this deen is not for me. I'm going to stop investing my time into this. You know what? It's not for me. Or if you come to the opposite conclusion that yes, indeed, this is the truth, then be the best Muslim you can be. There is no room for anything in the middle. Enough with being this tepid, half-stepping, indecisive, flaking Muslim. It's completely and utterly unacceptable. There's a very beautiful quote that says what? "There are only two mistakes one can make along the road to truth: not going all the way and not starting." And I believe that if you're here today, then you have started that path. There's a very good chance that you have started your journey towards truth. If you were going to quit, you should have quit a long time ago. You've come this far. You've come way too far to not get your reward. So seek your reward with Allah. Now is the time to get serious and know that all success is with Him. Either Jannah is real or it isn't. Either hellfire is real or it isn't. And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Huffat al-jannatu bil-makarih, wa huffat al-naru bil-shahawat." That paradise is surrounded by hardships and hellfire is surrounded by temptation. So if it is real, then know for a fact that the journey will not be easy, but it will be worth it. However, it's going to require stamina. That means that the tepid will wash out. People that are soft and weak, the tepid people, they will wash out. They will not be able to hack it. Why? Because it is an uphill, difficult struggle. So you need to figure out if you're serious or not. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, فَاسْتَمْسِكْ بِالَّذِي أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ إِنَّكَ عَلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. So hold firm. Fastamsik, hold tight to that which Allah has revealed to you. Indeed, you are on a straight path. A man once came to the Prophet and asked, tell me something that I don't need anything after it. Tell me something quick that I don't need to ask anybody else or ask you. Just give me some sort of comprehensive advice that can keep me going. The Prophet says, قُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ فَاسْتَقِمْ. Say, I believe in Allah, and then be steadfast. Be persistent. What does this imply? Number one, get your priorities straight. Get your belief system straight. Know what's in your heart. Figure it out. Do your research and find out, do I truly believe this? And if the answer is yes, then say it. Declare it. Be confident. قُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ. Say, I believe in Allah. فَاسْتَقِمْ. Then be steadfast and don't quit. There's a very powerful quote that I find very much touches the heart. And it says that most of us, we understand that we have potential. And it's not that we're afraid that we don't have potential, it's actually that we are afraid of just how great we can be, because it's intimidating. That amount of change and that amount of sacrifice and that amount of responsibility scares us. The quote goes as follows. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. I believe that's very true. Many people here know that they can reach great heights, but they fear how much it will demand from them. It's not that they think that they'll quit. It's that they know they can do it, but how much sacrifice will it take? And inshallah ta'ala, I'd like to close with one final quote from Al-Mutanabbih, who says something very interesting. He says, لَمْ أَرَى فِي عُيُوبِ النَّاسِ شَيْئًا كَنَقْصِ الْقَادِرِينَ عَلَى التَّمَامِ. He says, I've never seen any defect in people worse than the underperformance of those who are capable of perfection. Nothing else, in my opinion, is worse than seeing somebody who has such great potential, who I know has the mind, has the heart, has the will. They can do it, but they just choose not to. Nothing is more ugly than seeing somebody who has that ability and just throws it away. So we all have to ask ourselves, do I have potential or do I not? If the answer is no, that's fine. You can go home, lie down, and just wait till something happens. But if you know that you have potential, and if you know that you have the ability to sacrifice, and you are here because you are commemorating the example of Ibrahim alayhi salam, who always pushed himself to his limit, then inshallah ta'ala, you should reach that potential. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who reach our potential. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who are not afraid of our own potentials. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who are willing to sacrifice. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who follow in the footsteps of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. And with that, I would like to wish you all a happy Eid, Eid Mubarak, Eid Kareem. Kullu am wa antum bikhair. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.